ever considered that we are living in a unique time, that something world-changing is about to happen, and that it might concern you? If so, you're in the right place. Keep listening, and you'll hear thought-provoking views behind the news that point to a new and better future for all. Many people now sense that humanity is not alone. So consider this. If the Christ or the Buddha walked among us today as modern men, would we recognize them? What would they be saying? And most importantly, would we listen? Every Sunday on this program, Share International Radio will examine extraordinary events that are unfolding behind the headline news. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. And now, welcome to this week's show.
Welcome to Share on the Air Radio. My name is Cielito Pascual. I'm podcasting from Seattle, Washington, and this is our 64th episode of the show. I alternate hosting duties with my colleague Diana Gold-Holland, who is in Vancouver, BC. She was on last week. And nearly every week on this show, we present a very compelling premise in the context of current world events. And that premise is that emerging into the world today are a group of wise elders of humanity led by Maitreya, the world teacher, here now to guide us out of the crisis of injustice and environmental degradation that is imperiling all life on our planet. And the guidance of these elders, known as the Masters of Wisdom, or the Lords of Compassion, is available to all of us, no matter our background, to all members of the human family, and is based on the spiritual principle of sharing. And the purpose of Share on the Air Radio is to present this premise for your consideration, for your investigation, and hopefully to inspire you to examine what is happening in the world in a new way. And it's important to note, we don't often mention this, but it is important to note that the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom has been initiated by humanity itself and is leading up to a very definite event known as the Day of Declaration, where Maitreya will appear before the world via satellite. And we'll talk about that a little later in the show. But I do want to introduce our guest for today. We're going to speak with a journalist whose extensive work, published by online alternative media outlets, covers hard-hitting issues in the political and economic realm. But he has also written with remarkable clarity on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher. And those same alternative media outlets have picked up on the story. My guest, Graham Peebles, is an artist and writer based in London and is the director of the Create Trust, a UK charity founded in 2006. He's run education projects and teacher training programs in Palestine, India, and Ethiopia. And he is a longtime student of the body of knowledge known as the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. Welcome to the show, Graham.
What's up?
All right, do we have you on the air here?
Anybody there?
There you are. I heard you earlier. Welcome, Graham. Can you hear me? Hello, Graham? Oh, gosh. Do we have you? I know you're there. I can hear him. I hope he can hear me. Okay. Yeah, apparently he is connected. Graham? I know. I am going to see if I can just give him a Skype message to let him know I can hear him. And hopefully he can pick up on that. Graham just recently published an article on Counterpunch, interestingly, for our U.S. audience who are activists. Counterpunch is a very familiar online media outlet. I'm just sending him a message. Many of Graham's articles have been published on that show. And I'm going to just read off some of the headlines of while we're waiting for him to... Oh, gosh. I'm going to just let... Oh, and the audience, I understand the audience can hear him. And we're going to try something here. I'm going to talk and send questions to Graham and see if we can get the show started that way. I'm letting him know I'll send him questions. I wanted to share with the audience the headlines of some of his articles so you get a sense of the range of what he covers. We have Ethiopia, peaceful protest to armed uprising. Another article, hunger and food waste in a world of plenty. Children and women for sale, trafficking in India. Climate change, the potential impacts of collective inaction. So these are very serious, sober, think tank kind of topics. But he's also written articles with titles like Peace in a Troubled World, Hope and Wonder Amidst the Misery, Goals of the New Way, Unity and Diversity, and most recently his article published in counterpunch.org is entitled Maitreya, the Coming One for All Humanity. I'm going to send him. Oh, he replies, okay, technology. So my question to him is, tell us what kind of work you were doing prior to writing. And we're going to hear Graham respond, because his background is as an artist. I'm just going to let Om Times know. I'm not hearing any sound. I'm not hearing any sound on Graham's end.
And before that, I'd been, since 2005, I'd been running education projects in developing countries. Prior to that, I was a photographer and fine artist. I'd done voluntary work in London since 1987, working with various communities and various charities here. So I'd got quite a lot of experience of working within the voluntary sector. And when the tsunami happened in Southeast Asia in 2005, we were all, deeply moved by the tragedy. And a friend of mine has a house in Sri Lanka, and we met in January, just after the Boxing Day tsunami. And I sort of quite casually actually said, is there anything I can do to help? And she sort of jumped on me and said, well, yes, would you run a series of sort of therapeutic art workshops in Gaul, in the south of Sri Lanka, which had the town or the city had been devastated by the tsunami. And they her and some friends had raised a little bit of funds, and they would sort of pay for art materials and cover expenses in Sri Lanka if I could get myself there. So I paid for the flight, I stayed at Linda's house, and I ran daily workshops with one community to begin with in Gaul, who'd lost all her community of about 80 families, and they'd lost all of their homes. They were all living in canvas tents when I arrived. And I worked with one of the people in the camp spoke English. He translated for me, and I went every day and ran workshops with the children. That work expanded, and I met other people and other NGOs working on the island. And what started as a 6-week project ended up with me spending 8 months in Sri Lanka in three trips and working with, I don't know, over 150 children, I suppose, and three or four communities. I'd always written, actually. I mean, before I started writing the human rights and political and philosophical essays, I'd always written to poetry, and I'd always kept journals. And actually, although I was a visual artist, people had been nagging me for years to write. I think lots of time people look at my paintings and say, actually, you should be writing. Which I wasn't sure whether it was a comment on my writing ability or actually my prowess as an artist, as a visual artist. Either way, then I started writing in 2012. Initially, I wrote about countries that I'd worked in. So I think the first couple of pieces I wrote were about Palestine. I haven't spent long in Palestine. I was only there for a few weeks, but wrote a little bit about Palestine, and then Ethiopia, where I spent 2 years running education projects. And later, I've written about India and then a number of, you know, lots of sort of philosophical pieces, or we might call philosophical pieces.
Can you hear me, Graham? I have a feeling he's not able to hear me, so I just sent
I
him
first
my...
came across the information about the presence, well, the fact of the existence of a spiritual hierarchy and the emergence of Maitreya and the externalization of the hierarchy more broadly in 1987. A friend of mine had been to a lecture by Benjamin Krem in Munich and mentioned what he listened to, and I found that Ben gave regular lectures here and went along to friend's house. I think it was October 1987.
Great. Graham, we're going up to a break, and we'll talk more about your experience of hearing Benjamin Krem, who's the primary exponent of the information of Maitreya. We'll hear more from Graham Peebles after the break. Stay with us. Share on the Air Radio North America is how we're found on Facebook. We'll be back after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcott, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Now there's a book about UFOs that stands out. British author Benjamin Krem has worked directly with the Space Brothers and writes about their spiritual mission in The Gathering of the Forces of Light, a truly inspiring book. Visit shareontheairradio.org for details. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Share on the Air Radio, and I am speaking with Graham Peebles. He's a journalist in London, and we are communicating via Skype because, unfortunately, he can't at the moment. He's not able to hear me, although we all heard each other at the beginning of the show. So there'll be a bit of a pause as I send questions via Skype and he responds. And he was in the prior segment explaining how he came to be writing and covering really hard-hitting issues around economics and politics, even though with a background as a photographer. So we're focusing on how one responds to a call. He responded to the tsunami in Sri Lanka a number of years ago, the big tsunami, and that started him on his way of working towards establishing his charity. But we're now talking about how he first heard about the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. I'll have him resume where he was talking. About hearing the story. And
so I went along to the first meeting in October 1987, as I say, and I knew nothing. I mean, I had no spiritual background. I read no Eastern philosophy, had no religious upbringing, and everything I heard was like double Dutch to me. You know, I had no idea what Benjamin Krem was talking about. However, I was absolutely sure that what he was saying was true. And at the same time, I had, I think maybe it was just before I'd been to Ben's lecture, or, you know, whether it was the same month or not, I'd been along to a yoga class, which I'd never done such things. You know, in the 1980s, they weren't as popular as they are now. And I, in order to find a yoga class, I went to an esoteric bookshop in Soho. And the assistant chap said, oh, there's lots of classes in these magazines. And I looked through and I just picked one at random. And it happened to be at the Theosophical Society, which, so I attended the yoga class. And at the end of the class, there was a short, what they called it, meditation session. And went home afterwards feeling very relaxed and had certain phenomenal experiences that night, which I'd never experienced such things before. And went back to the Theosophical Society the next evening to a meditation session, and then discovered their library, which is fantastic, and found myself purely by chance sitting in the Krishnamurti section, and I started to read, and I essentially haven't stopped. So I went back to Ben's lectures. Ben, he used to give lectures in London every month. So I went to the lectures every month, and I was studying. So the information started to, I was able to contextualize the information, to understand it, to see it in a historical perspective, and make sense of what this extraordinary man was saying.
And again, Graham isn't able to hear me, so I'm sending him questions via Skype. I'll fill in for the audience who Benjamin Krem is and where people – you don't have to go to the Theosophical Library in London to find out more about this story. You can go online, of course, to share-international.org. Benjamin Krem, for over 35 years, nearly 40 years, was touring the world sharing the information that he was receiving through his contact with one of the Masters of Wisdom. He was in telepathic rapport with one of the Masters of Wisdom and was instructed to write his first book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. So we have an incredible amount of information that's just available for you, okay, if you have access to the internet, and of course you do, if you're listening to the show, and visit share-international.org. If you have any questions, feel free to follow us on Facebook, Share on the Air Radio North America, and you can message us with questions there. I'm going to continue by sending the next question for Graham. But I will say we have an introductory show that gives the full background. Unfortunately, we don't have the interplay that we would normally have if the connection was complete here on the air. So I'll try to fill in as much as possible. But I'll send my next question to Graham regarding how his growing awareness of the masters started to influence his work.
Oh, it changed everything. It absolutely changed everything in my life. That 1987, from then on, my life completely went in a different direction. I'd started to study, I'd started to meditate. I was a photographer at the time, so I then started to draw and to paint. I started to volunteer in, I think the first group I volunteered with was the Hunger Project, and then Shelter and so on. But yeah, so I wanted then to serve and to get involved, and I was waking up. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, I'd lived a very sleepy, self-indulgent life, often a miserable one, but nevertheless self-indulgent up until that point, I suppose. And in March 1988, having been sort of doing personal meditation for about 5-6 months and attending Ben's lectures, as I say, monthly, I started doing transmission meditation with Benjamin Krem's group in London. And first of all, he suggested I started with one night a week. I went Wednesday evenings for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then started going 3 times a week, which I continued to do for, I don't know, about 18 years, I suppose.
And my next question for Graham is, speaking of creativity and serving and volunteering, I'm asking him to speak on the soul.
According to the teachings of the Master DK given through Alice A. Bailey, the impulse to serve comes from the soul, not from the personality. So the personality is essentially selfish and, on the whole, lazy, other than it's pursuing its own goals. Whereas the soul, which is trying to carry out, express the plan of evolution on the physical plane through the personality, is seeking to inspire the man or woman in incarnation to serve its plan. And its plan, first of all, is to create right human relationships and to encourage creativity, to encourage group work, to decentralize the individual, to move them away from selfish, self-orientated work to work that will benefit others and will serve the plan of evolution, which the soul is trying to make manifest on the physical plane.
And we're approaching a break, and we'll continue with Graham Peebles. If the show sounds a little stilted, it's because Graham is not able to hear me, and I am sending him questions
and that's via, Maisie barking.
Via Skype. And his dog is also joining us, but his dog can't hear us. Anyway, we're going into a break. Stay with us.
In accordance with her soul's purpose.
The bark was in accordance with...
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
The Awakening of Humanity by Benjamin Krim is a concise, prophetic book about momentous changes soon to occur. It focuses on an unprecedented event, the emergence into full public life of Maitreya, the world teacher. Download the book free online. Visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we are back on Share on the Air Radio. My guest is Graham Peebles, journalist based in London, who has written extensively. You can visit his website. His articles are extraordinary. GrahamPeebles.org. And he is on the line with us. However, he cannot hear me, and I am texting to him. So I am just sending the next question. I'm asking him about his articles at counterpunch.org. Counterpunch is very much a political website.
The only catalyst. Please excuse Maisie. She's just knocked an umbrella over, which seems to have rather startled her. No, there was no particular catalyst for writing it other than a desire to want to get the information out into the public. And as you say, I've been writing for a little while. I was, by that stage, a writer for Counterpunch, so... I sent it out with sort of fingers crossed whether they would publish it or not, and they did. I mean, without any question, it was published completely unedited. And I can't remember what the response. So there was no reaction from the editor. Once it was published, I can't remember. I think I may have received the odd email. You know, probably saying that I was barking mad, and maybe some saying, you know, good luck and so on. And I'd also sent it to Nation of Change. I'm also a writer for a magazine there called Nation of Change, and they had published not only the article, but they In 1988, Maitreya appeared in Nairobi at a regular service run by a woman, a healer there, extraordinary healer called Mary Akatsa, and he'd appeared out of the blue at one of her services, and photographs were taken by the editor of the Kenyan Times, who was present. And that photograph, which is widely circulated, was published by Nation of Change in conjunction with the article. So I thought that was quite extraordinary.
And what Graham is talking about, I kind of sent him more of the question to him than I articulated for the audience. He was describing having his first article on Maitreya. It was entitled Changing Times, A Tale of Hope and Wonder, published March 2014 at counterpunch.org. And as I mentioned, Counterpunch, On my social media news feed, I see a lot of posts, a lot of articles from Counterpunch. Many of my friends share links from Counterpunch, and I know people who contribute to Counterpunch have written articles that have been widely shared. And as it turns out, Counterpunch has published four articles about Maitreya, written by Graham Peebles very eloquently since 2014. And his work has also been published, as he mentioned, on Nation of Change. There's five alternative media. Oh, Truth Out. He's been published on Truth Out, Counterpunch, Nation of Change, and so you can see all of his articles at grahampeebles.org. And so I'm going to ask him about his organization, the Create Trust. And that's a charity organization that he founded in 2006. He's not as actively involved now, but it certainly does operate. It's at thecreatetrust.org. And he's getting my Skype messages right
now. So the Create Trust was set up in 2006. 2005, 2006. It was set up after the work in Sri Lanka. So once I was doing the work in Sri Lanka, I realized that actually it was quite interesting because it brought together two strains of my life, the philosophical part of my life and the artistic creative side, if you like. And also when I was in Sri Lanka, I met a woman who was the head of the education department for that region in Sri Lanka. And I went to see her, and we were just chatting about various things. And she said to me after the talk, would I be interested in giving a talk at a teacher training college which was the state-run teacher training college for that region. So I said yes, and went along and gave a talk about psychological and sociological conditioning and how that impacts on a child's imagination, their creativity, their sense of self, how fear is promoted, and the inhibiting effects of these methods. And after that, the principal invited me to run a series of such workshops. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I could. We should perhaps formulate this into a charity. So on one of the trips back to England, I found some trustees, and we set the thing in motion of setting up the Create Trust as a registered charity. And by the time, which took quite a few months, it's rather a process. And by the time I was in, I think the following 2006, when I was in Ethiopia, the Create Trust was actually established as a charity.
And I'm asking him about his documentary that he's working on now.
I spent 2 years in Ethiopia working, backwards and forwards, but 2 years in the end to 2008, I feel a very strong affinity to the country. I have very close friends with Ethiopians, and as I say, I've written more about Ethiopia than anything else. And there's one particular region of the country called the Ogaden where people are being brutally repressed by the government. And the region is closed off to international media and international aid organizations. So the only way of getting information is from people who have fled the region. And a lot of those people end up in Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya. So in 2013, I was asked by a diaspora group to go to Dadaab and meet refugees and record their stories. So I wrote their stories, and we wrote many articles based on their experiences. And then the following year, I was asked to go back and make a documentary film built around a series of interviews with victims of abuse, which I did, which was only a sort of 15, 18-minute film. And actually, I've just returned from a third trip to Dadaab, where I met both victims of abuse and perpetrators, so defected soldiers who'd carried out the atrocities. And with the view, we're going to make a more substantial, longer documentary showing that the level of abuse and exploitation that's going on has been going on for a number of years. I mean, the stories that I heard this last week were probably the most harrowing I've ever encountered. Soldiers talking about mass graves and, I mean, dreadful types of torture and, I mean, rape on a monumental scale. So it was all rather distressing.
And again, for our audience, you can read Graham Peebles' articles at grahampeebles.org, grahampeebles.org, and you can see the documentary that he's describing at his site as well. It's very moving. It's very beautiful as well. I'm quite grateful to know about what's happening in this part of the world. Otherwise, I would not know it without being connected to Graham. So I share that with all of you. And again, I'm Skyping questions to him. And I'm going to ask him how he squares what he has witnessed, what he's just witnessed in Kenya from his trip, with the message of hope presented by the information about the emergence of Maitreya. We are seeing so much tragic incidents.
Well, there's no contradiction between the message of hope that is inherent in Maitreya's presence in the world and the emergence of the masters, and the suffering that that people are going through. It's, you know, the suffering that people are going through is man-made. The hope of change, actually, the hope of change lies within humanity. We are the hope for change. The inspiration for change is Maitreya and the masters. But one thing I would say is that I was in India in October for a while, and I kept thinking that the trip into Dadaab, when one leaves these places or one's there, the feeling I have more than anything is complete inadequacy. you know, inadequate to the task or the challenge of meeting people's need. And what's needed is a healing energy. The world, the people of the world, there's so much pain and there is so much suffering that we need, it's almost feels to me like what the world needs to be washed in a healing force that will cleanse the impurities which cause these tremendous anguish and pain in people and free them from this internal conflict and suffering. And the only thing that can do that is Maitreya. The energy of love flowing through the centers, the etheric centers within each and every human being, purifying and cleansing and healing not just us, but the environment as well. But and that's, you know, the connection, I suppose, that I saw when I was in Dadaab and have been reflecting on ever since.
And just to elaborate on what Graham's saying, he talked about the energies flowing through Maitreya. We haven't addressed that, and we have about a few seconds to the break. So I'll just continue. There's our break music. We're going to talk about those energies after the break in our final segment of Share on the Air Radio. I'm Cielito Pasquale in Seattle, speaking with Graham Peebles in London. And we appreciate you listening. Stay tuned for the final segment. We're talking about making change in the world inspired by the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you on a spiritual path and want a quick reference guide? Look no further. The booklet Ageless Wisdom Teaching introduces key spiritual concepts, including reincarnation, meditation, and initiation. Download the book free online. Visit shareontheairradio.org for details. That's shareontheairradio.org. Shareontheairradio.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And we're back for our final segment of Share on the Air Radio. I'm with Graham Peebles, journalist. And you may hear a puppy barking in the background. We do hear him, but unfortunately he doesn't hear me. So I am sending questions to him via Skype, and we're doing pretty well. We're doing pretty well here. So in the last segment, Graham was talking about the energies of Maitreya cleansing the world. The world is in such a extraordinary transition, which for many of us is extremely troubling sometimes to see what's happening in the world. I do want to bring to your attention the idea of the energies. And we've mentioned Benjamin Krem several times. Benjamin Krem, as I said, has written quite a bit. He's the primary exponent. His work has continued. He passed on in October of 2016, but his work continues through many volunteers around the world, sharing this story again for your consideration, for your investigation, and you can investigate further. There are a number of books that Benjamin Krem has published, and you can also hear Benjamin Krem in his lectures in New York and in Tokyo. They are online on YouTube. Visit Share International on YouTube, and you will see entire lectures as well as short excerpts from Benjamin Krem's talks. So whatever time you have available, you can learn something very quickly by listening to those videos. So in regards to the energies, I'd like for the audience to keep in mind that, you know, physicists understand that everything is energy, and that is no different with the event of the emergence of Maitreya. And Maitreya and the masters are stewards of very potent cosmic and planetary energies, which they direct into the world to aid in the great plan of humanity. These are energies that are stimulating. These are energies that are guiding. So when we see changes that may appear to be alarming, when we see divisions in the world that are troubling, these are all being stimulated. And when we see great occurrences in the world that are inspiring, especially people power movements, all of this is being stimulated by the energies of Maitreya, the good and the bad. And the result of that is that we are seeing in clear relief, we are seeing the difference, the distinction between what is progressive and forward-thinking for the benefit of humanity, and we're seeing very clearly what is regressive and suppressive of the progress of humanity. And that will help us as humanity make the choices that we need to make to move humanity forward. And in a moment, we're going to talk about the Day of Declaration. I'll ask Graham to explain that. So I am going to cue him with the next question on the biggest lesson he has learned from making a difference, in the world. And I know many of us feel prompted.
I think when you're working with vulnerable groups, then, as all the people that we've worked with are, the first thing you need to do is establish trust. And that can take time. One of the best ways to establish trust is to be consistent and to do what you say you're going to do. I remember when, after the first trip to Sri Lanka, when I left, I said goodbye to the group, and there was one chap who was the sort of head of the group. They used to call him Baby, and he was lovely, lovely man. And I said, "I'm going, Baby, and I'll be back." And he said, "Oh yeah, okay, Mr. Gray." They used to call me Mr. Gray. Blah, 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 he said. So anyway, I left, and I don't know, about a month later or something, I returned and just turned up at the camp. They didn't know I was coming. And he said that after the tsunami, many NGOs, international and local and regional, turned up, and He said, they all said, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. And he said, you're the only one who came back. And that was a big lesson. So, you know, and the lesson was, if you say you're going to do something, do it. I think it's, you know, with lots of people want to do something to make a difference in the world and to serve and so on. But, you know, see the problems as too immense and, you know, what can I do? I'm only one person and so on. And it's true. And we all feel like that. And, you know, when you get engaged in things, I think sometimes you feel that even more. But, you know, my advice is then just to keep it simple, you know, to identify an area of concern, something you feel sympathetic towards, and get involved, you know, start simply volunteering little bit, and you know, don't try to judge whether you're making a difference or not. Just, you know, Maitreya says, puts it very simply and makes it so easy for us. Maitreya says, take your brother's need as the measure for your actions and solve the problems of the world. And I think really it's as simple as that. The minute you think of somebody else, you stop thinking about yourself, your own self-pity and depression disappears, and you find that you're caught up in trying to do whatever you can, large or small, for somebody else.
That's a beautifully eloquent. There's nothing more therapeutic than setting aside
interest. The Maitreya's emergence, the gradual, steady, planned process of his emergence, which is taking place, will lead, according to Benjamin Krem, an extraordinary event, an unprecedented historic event, called by one of the masters called the Day of Days. It will be the Day of Days. Ben's called it the Day of Declaration, and But Maitreya is in the process of giving television interviews, and once his message and is widely known, the expectation is that there will be public demands made on governments that this extraordinary man with this message of peace and sharing should be given the opportunity to address the whole of humanity. And that event will be the Day of Declaration. The satellite televisions will be linked. The message will be given through the television networks at a particular time on a particular date, and Maitreya's face will appear on the television screens, but he will not speak. He won't say a word, but his message, his ideas, will enter the minds of everybody, every adult. I think above the age of 14, I think Ben has said. And everybody will hear his message inwardly, telepathically, similar to what took place in at Pentecost and with Jesus, where people heard the message in their own languages. So one of the masters has said that people everywhere will become like little children, full of trust, full of love, full of goodness, full of hope, full of aspiration, connected to one another like never before. And Benjamin Krem has said that people will feel saintly, they will feel at their best, as he puts it, at their most holy. I think, because the energy of love, three things will take place on that day. The message will enter into the minds of all of humanity. There will be an enormous outflow of Maitreya's energy, which is the Christ principle, or the energy of love. He is the Lord of love. So this energy of love will flow through the hearts of everybody throughout throughout the world. And the third thing that will happen is that there will be spontaneous healings on the physical plane. So it'll be a mental, emotional or heartfelt and physical experience. Maitreya himself has said it will be almost as if I've embraced the whole of humanity, that people will feel it even physically. So he will give us a glimpse of the type of civilization, the type of world that we can build. He will explain how far we've fallen from grace, from our true stature as divine men and women, into this materialistic pit of suffering and conflict. And he will lay out the possibilities for change, the technology that can be given. And this will inspire humanity. After reflection, you know, there will be a moment for us to build completely new social, economic and political structures which accommodate the needs of all men for social justice, freedom and peace.
And thank you, Graham Peebles. Thank you, audience, for listening. This is Cielito Pascual in Seattle. Stay listening to Share on the Air.